Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. And even those of you who are watching online from around the world, you can stand up too. As I continue to preach in your hearing, the church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. The world will never do so, but the church should do so and can. And some have, by the grace of God. It is amazing how psychologically people can get stuck. As the young people say, stuck on stupid. Because it is stupid to not like somebody just because God made them a different color. That's stupid. That's ignorant. The church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line, part 20. Now, if you cannot hear us on Periscope, if you cannot hear us on YouTube, if you cannot hear us on Go to Church Online, if you can't hear us on Facebook Live, please do something and let our technician know. Just send a comment or whatever you do. I would not know how to do it myself. And let them know that you can't hear. We have some new mics coming in and so forth, and so you should be able to hear better shortly. The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 74. This is part 20 of this particular series. Turn in your holy Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. The Holy Bible reads, "For ye are all the children of God." Pardon me. "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." We have become the children of God simply because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not by baptism, not by doing good works, not by church membership, simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you have done that. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free." This is a huge statement for Paul, being a Jew now. You must understand. This is big time. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed." This is deep. This is deep stuff. "And heirs according to the promise." Holy Father God in heaven, we know that you are there on your throne with your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at your right hand. And yet, you're here with us. I don't understand it, Lord, but I thank you for it. We thank you for the gift and the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, whom unfortunately so many of us have grieved and do grieve and quench. And so therefore we don't feel the full effects of the power of the Holy Spirit without measure. And so therefore, Lord, all of us as even believers in Christ, and Lord, you know we need to do this better than we know. We need to confess our sins, for the truth of the matter is right now many people in the church are in a mess and are a mess, and some would say a hot mess. Lord God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon your believers. Some who have foolishly, unintentionally, or intentionally have gotten away from you. They're cold-hearted. They don't pray anymore. They don't read your holy word. They're not faithful to the house of the Lord. They refuse to repent of shacking up and having girlfriends and boyfriends on the side. We're in a mess. So God in heaven, help us to repent of our sins. And for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And I thank you, Lord, for the many people who gather around and listen to this poor preacher. And Lord, you know we don't do much to get a crowd. You have drawn the crowds, Lord, ever since we started. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every soul who takes time on their lunch break, and they do like I do when I'm eating. I watch something either on the internet or whatever sometimes, and Lord, I do pray that they would get the message from your holy word that they need. And they may not need this one, but Lord, help them to turn somebody else onto it who they know need it. But everybody needs the gospel. Lost people for sure, and even saved people need to be reminded of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And hopefully through the preaching of the gospel, as we have seen down through the years, people repent. Christians repent. Christians come back to you through the simple preaching of the gospel. I don't understand it. I don't understand why we got so many people, just as many people write in saying they are coming back to you. They want to rededicate their life. They're saved, but they heard the gospel preached, and they want to rededicate their lives and get back on the firing line. It's just a strange thing to me, but I'm sure it's not strange to you. And so, Lord, we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We pray that you'll demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit once again. And we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. And his trick is to make people believe that he does not exist, but he does exist. For true Christians who are serving you are fighting somebody that we can't see. And his name is the devil, according, and Satan, according to your holy word. So place upon us the whole arm of God, and give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and over his cohorts, the demons and the Judases and the Sanballats. And Lord, we pray that your gospel message, your holy word, will go through all of the pipes and cables all around the world, and satellites and all that you use to get your message out. And we pray that lost souls will be saved and Christians revived. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Again, for those of you who are wondering why I have a bald head for the first time since I have been born, and for the last time, it's because I am in solidarity with somebody who is going through a special training right now. And I did it to surprise him and to support him. Be that as it may, Dr. Kevin DeYoung said, "We are all, if believers in Jesus, one in Christ." We see from the New Testament that justification by faith does not eradicate our gender, our vocation or our ethnicity, but it does relativize, that might be a new word for some of you, you'll get it by freight, relativize all these things. Our first and most important identity, and by the way, let me just say something about the great editor of Relevant Magazine. I marvel at this young man. His last name is String. I believe he's the son of the older String, president of Charisma Magazine. I'm not a reader of Relevant. It's more for young people and so forth. And right now he's being criticized, I believe wrongly, for creating a racist environment at Relevant Magazine. Young man, Brother String. And I believe that he is wrongly being accused. He's a white guy. By a black guy who was the managing editor. And I want to say something to you people. There's a spirit of Judas in the world. Wherever something good is going on, where Christ is glorified and the gospel is being preached or shared, Judases show up there. They don't show up down on the beach for spring break. They show up in churches and ministries. And I want to tell you something. It's just wrong for you to work at a Christian organization and have a position and get paid and be recognized, and then you leave for whatever reason, and then you turn on that company that has been so good to you. I think it's just wrong. It's wrong. That church that has been so good to you. Just like it was wrong for Antonio, whatever his name is, the great football receiver who was fired by the Patriots and the Raiders. There's something wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with the teams. Well, you know, teams are not perfect either, but when you get fired and lose millions of dollars from two great teams that either one of them could have gone to the Super Bowl, there's something wrong with you. And then you get fired, and then you say a little nice word, and then you start criticizing your former boss. That is the Judas spirit from hell, people. That's just wicked as hell. And so I want to say to Brother String, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, he's a humble man because he's taking leave of absence for something he should not be taking leave of absence for. But I respect him for, as a young man, because he's sensitive to his critics. And I don't believe he should take a leave of absence, but I respect his sensitivity and his concern. And this word that I just shared with you, that D. Young shared with us, he could have used a simpler word, but no. But anyway, and that's what reminded me and triggered the thought about this dear young brother who's being accused of, basically being accused of racism. If he was a racist, he would not have hired the black man to be the managing editor in the first place. But just because he disagrees does not mean he's a racist. He's the one who has the vision for the magazine. Now, I'm not a big fan of the magazine. I'm an old man. I'm not with all that. Whatever they're doing, it does not appeal to me, and it shouldn't. But I know wrong when I see it, and I know right when I see it. And I like the attitude and spirit of this young man, and I want to encourage him as a white brother, not to get caught up in that mess of trying to get off of his mission for what God has called him to do. I truly believe that God does call people to deal with injustice, and that's their ministry. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of them. And I believe that God calls some pastors to have to deal with it and gift them to do that. But God calls other people to do other things. God didn't call me to deal with that. God called me to preach the gospel. But as a prophet as well, if you will, whether you believe prophets exist or not, and some prophets have messed up that name so badly I don't use it, every now and then God will put in my heart and spirit to deal with an issue that the church is facing. And it just so happened that I'm dealing with it right now, and it just so happens we got two major racial issues going on in the Christian news as I speak. The Relevant magazine issue, which I want to encourage Brother Strang, take, if you're going to take a leave of absence, take one day and get back on the job. And you do what the Lord leads you to do. Because I believe, first and foremost, if you want social change, if you want social justice, you need to preach the gospel first. Because there's not, none of that's going to happen without Jesus. The other situation we have on hand today is Bishop George Bloomer, a popular black preacher. I'm not in that crowd of prosperity gospel preachers and so forth, but he's accusing he quit preaching and hosting on the Word Network because the owner of the network, who happens to be white, sent out a picture with him dressed up as a big pimp, and it looks like he was pimping or using as little pimp slaves or whatever popular, well-known preachers and singers. Kirk Franklin is on there. George Bloomer, Creflo Dollar, surrounding him, looking like little men, and he's the big pimp controlling them. And he retweeted that several times. Now, I believe that that man, who is a shrewd businessman, would have never done that if he didn't think that some pimping was going on, even with his own network, that some of the folks on the network are nothing but pimps. Now, I really believe that they're pimping God's people for money. And I don't know whether any other reason why he would do that. Because to offend the people who are making money for you is to me is not a good business practice. But already people are calling this blatant racism. So to continue the quote by DeYoung, our first and most important identity is not male or female, American or Russian or German or Kenyan, black or white, Spanish speaker or French speaker, rich or poor, influential or obscure, but Christian. That's what If you have trusted Christ, that's what you are, first and foremost, whether you like it or not. Now, a young lady got in trouble saying that she was not black, she was a Christian. Now, what she said was the truth. And what she was saying was exactly what the young is saying here. That first and foremost, I am a born-again Christian. And everybody who is truly saved, first and foremost, that's what we are. Now, there are people in all of our communities who want us to be white first or black first, man. But if you are a born-again Christian, you got to pull yourself out of that. You got to pull yourself out of that, man. And be, if you will, fair on both sides. Both sides, man. Just like I was fair with a string today. I don't believe you ought to take a leave of absence at all. Now, if he did some, he hauled off and called the managing editor a black nigger, well, then you might need to take some time off and cool off. But if you, all you did was criticize a move, or you don't think that your audience was open to certain things, like the Root band being on the cover, that's your editorial decision. The young goes on, we are more alike than we are different. And that's a fact. That's a fact. If you're a born-again Christian, buddy, we are more alike than we are different. And so today, my dear friends, in our last message in this series on yesterday, we looked at how the fact that we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ ought to foster unity among Christians. Not game playing, not to see who's going to be the first one to speak, and not glad handing and slapping the man's back like you've been knowing him for years, instead of doing like you do with your people. If you want to know somebody, you introduce yourself and ask, could you spend some time getting to know you, or whatever the case might be. And let's look at three more points, and I may not even get to them all, but I'm supposed to. Let's look at three more points that point towards this same goal of unity. Secondly, when we are baptized, we have put on Christ, all of us. Red, yellow, black, and white, we're all precious in God's sight. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. The closest group on planet Earth should be Christians. And the world should know us by the love we have one for another. Red, yellow, black, and white. For we're all precious in God's sight. We already know that the ordinance of baptism in water is a purely symbolic act. It has nothing to do with your being saved, unlike some of my Church of Christ brethren believe. It does not have any spiritual effect on us. What baptism refers to in this context is the baptism of the Spirit, which we talked about in one of our earlier messages. But what does it mean to put on Christ? It's all about Christ, man. To put on Christ means it's all about Him and what He did, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He receives all glory, praise, and honor. It's all about Him. It's not about your color. It's not about your economic situation. what your zip code is. Who gives a flip? Nobody cares about that. Have you noticed, no matter what kind of church you go to, that people don't notice your car? They don't notice your clothes. And the more you into the false prosperity gospel, the less people notice it. Because everybody, they know everybody is faking it until they make it. There's too many people there for them to notice your little used BMW that you're trying to show forth as being new. Have you noticed the true Christians don't care what kind of clothes you're wearing? Unless they're immodest. And we got a whole lot of that going on in Bible-believing evangelical churches. Young women are wearing clothes so immodest that you can see their private parts in the church. And people, the women, the older women in the church who should be teaching them, have no authority to teach them because they're wearing some of the same stuff. And as I told you, what you get, I assume you're wearing those things to try to get a man. But what you get him with is what you would have to keep him with. And this is the deal. Most men do not want to see a potential wife wearing jeans that look like she stood on a dresser and poured herself in them. And even at that, because so many people are violating God's word on that in the church today, they may notice you for a hot second, and that's it. Because you don't even look good in them. And by the way, some of y'all don't need to be wearing no skinny jeans, because skinny jeans are for skinny people, not for fat people. And some of you just don't have it going on like that to be wearing immodest clothes. Ladies, nobody's going to tell you this. The old saints used to tell the young ladies, girl, put some clothes on. Don't come in here looking like that. Cover yourself up. They'll put a blanket over you, a sweater or something over you. Now, somebody may notice that. And the pedophiles and the rapists, they will notice it. And they'll stay on it. A good man who's trying to do the right thing and stay with his wife and children, he may notice for a hot second, and that's it, and see you as some kind of slut or whore or trying to get somebody and trying to trip somebody up. That's how they're going to think. That's how older women think about you as well. They'll never tell you because they know you can't handle it. That's all free. I'm telling you that that's happening in Bible-believing, evangelical, conservative churches. And we got women who want to be pastors and preachers over men, and they have not even dealt with that issue. They need to sit down and talk with these young ladies. Bless Fantasia's heart. I didn't even know Fantasia got married. Now Fantasia! Is telling wives, old and young, you need to submit to your husband. Love your husband. Let him lead. Stop trying. She said you need to slide back. Don't backslide, but slide back. Let him lead. We need a revival among the women of the church too. Not only the men, but the women. We need some older women to say, you know what, I'm going to start dressing modestly myself. I'm going to set the example, and I'm going to tell young ladies, you need to do this. Because, see, don't come crying to me when you get raped. Boo-hooing, and then you want to be a part of the Me Too movement, and you want to have a big old story done that's going to last a lifetime. That's going to be your lifetime mission. How you got raped. When you did not take heed to the word of God, you did not take heed to your father, you did not take heed to an older saint who told you you don't need to be wearing clothes like that. This is all free. I'm getting this straight from heaven. This is not in my notes. And the church needs to repent. Pastors don't have the guts to preach on it anymore. The pastor's wife, she's up in the pulpit wearing tight jeans, tight pants and shorts and everything else. And the men are trying to get a blessing, get a word, and they're lusting their eyeballs out. And it goes both ways. Can't just blame the wicked old men. By the way, people talk about love on first sight. At first sight. Let me tell you something. Most men who are normal, they experience love at first sight every day. Women don't, but men do. They see and they love. I love her. See? But they really don't love you. They want you. And that's why so many women are hurt today. So many women are curled up in a fetal position right now in their apartment, feeling used, feeling like nothing. And that's what enrages them. And they become bitter. And that's why you got millions of women mad as hell at men right now today. But what's going to happen, though, that's all going to backfire because, see, the male-female thing is a two-way street. Men need women and want women. But guess what? Women need men and want men, too. Maybe on a slower pace, but they still want them. Now, let me leave this alone. Some of y'all are getting mad already. Well, when we are baptized in the Spirit, we will experience the guiding of God throughout our lives. It's a beautiful thing. I cannot explain it to you. I'm not going to try it. It's too much, man. It's too much. God is too much. It's overwhelming. Overwhelming. I was preaching a revival in Belgium, Europe, some time ago, and God just moved, and I just said, Lord, this is too much. I can't take it. You're gonna kill me. I'm ready to go home. I know I can't go any higher than this. Some of y'all don't know anything about that, but see, the old folks, they know what I'm talking about. They used to talk about and sing, "My cup runneth over." Some of y'all don't know anything about it. Some of y'all don't have but this much in your cup. If that. You have no experience, no understanding of the cup running over. I can't help you with it. I can't even try to explain it to you. Because as soon as I try to explain it to you, you think I'm bragging or whatever. But my cup runneth over. How about yours? Anyway, we will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as described in Galatians 5 in our lives. Love. And love, dear friends, is not always this ushy, sweet, syrupy little thing, you know, romantic love and all that. Love, in the words of Dr. Dobson, who changed the culture about love when he wrote a book titled Love Must Be Tough. And he was right then, and he's right now. We need more tough love, man. You know what's wrong with some of y'all's children? No tough love. You just got this little ushy McDonald's, Burger King, have it your way, Chuck E. Cheese. Every time the children get mad, you take them to Chuck E. Cheese. They get them out your hair. No. You need some tough love, man. Let me help you. You need to get a paddle and whip their butts. That's love, too. That's love, too. I tell my children, I am not Daniel White Jr. I love my father. He's in heaven. But he loved us too much to the point where he never whipped our butts. And we caused him a lot of problems and a lot of headaches and a lot of gray hairs. And because he didn't whip our butts, I'm Daniel White III. I'm going to whip some butts up in here. And because I have done that, none of my children got pregnant. None of my girls got pregnant outside of wedlock. None of my boys got anybody pregnant. They're not on drugs. They're not in jail by the grace of God. And every morning we communicate wherever they are in the world. We're still in touch. They still say yes, sir, to me, even though they're grown. Yes, sir. They know I am not going to tolerate anything less than that. No, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever. Love. Where is it? Joy. Peace. Do you have that? Long suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Do you have some gentleness inside of you? Yeah. You can have tough love and still be gentle at times. It ought to come out of you because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside. Goodness. Do people know you to be a good person, even though you're not perfect? Faith. Do you have faith? At least the faith of the mustard seed. Just this past week, I was somewhere. The lady was, I don't know if she was trying to impress somebody or what, was talking about her Sunday school and how that she got some mustard seeds and gave all of the children a mustard seed, and how that they all carried the mustard seed around all week and put it around their neck and everything. And she said, see, now they have the faith of a mustard seed. I said, all right, okay. Meekness and temperance. We are putting on the light of Christ. We are putting on Christ by living the way he wants us to live, through the actions and attitudes that the Spirit guides us into. That's putting on Christ, responding to life, dealing with life the way Christ would do so. Racial pride, hatred, prejudice, and racism has no place in the Christian or in the church. Amen, somebody. And with that said, my beloved, I'm going to move on and close. If you are here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and therefore you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life, may I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him for salvation from sin and hell. I said it earlier in the message, and I'll say it again. The ending of racism in your heart and life and in your community and in your church is first and foremost trusting Christ as Savior and putting on Christ. So first, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws and commandments. And if you still have racism and prejudice in your heart, you're part of the Black Panthers and the Ku Klux Klan, and you want to kill somebody who is different than you are, then you need to listen to this. You need to trust Christ as Savior, and I guarantee you He'll change your heart. He'll change your heart in many cases almost instantaneously. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a penalty, a punishment for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you, right now, you're on the road to hell as I speak. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Dear friend, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. And I hear you saying right now, you ought not to be so excited about preaching on hell. You ought to be sad and so forth. First of all, you don't know my emotional state when I preach on hell. And it does not matter. Hell is a place just like New York City is a place, and you're going there. Hear me well, if you don't trust Christ as Savior and repent of your sins. You say, preacher, well, by the way, who's going to hell? What must I do to go to hell? Well, the Bible says, the Holy Bible states in Revelation 21:8, here's some folks going to hell, but the fearful people, too afraid to trust Christ as Savior, too afraid to trust in God because they're worried about what others might say about them, the atheists, the agnostics in the world. They're the unbelieving, but the fearful and unbelieving, the atheists and agnostics of the world are going to hell. The fearful are going to hell. And the abominable, these are the wicked. These are people who go beyond the pale in their sin. They don't just commit fornication and adultery, they do it with the same sex. It is a slap in the face of God who made them. And you can like it or lump it or choke on it. It does not matter. You're going to hell as sure as you can see my face. You're going to hell committing abominations. But not only that, there are other abominations. Men and women who rape children. Men who rape little girls and kill them. Women who rape little boys in school. But not only that, the abomination of incest. Fathers raping their daughters. Mothers raping their sons. Unspeakable acts. This is beyond the pale. Evil, sin, abominations. But it doesn't stop there. And people are doing this today. People who are trying to have sex with animals, with their dog, with their horse. All kinds of demonic activity. Where else are you going but to hell if you don't repent and trust Christ as Savior? You're not going to heaven like that. You ask who is going to hell, I'm telling you. Don't get mad with me. And murderers, people who kill other people. People who kill innocent babies. Abortion. You're going to hell. There are some women who use abortion as a birth control means. I know of one woman who had 8 abortions. My God help us. She killed 8 children, her own children. Whoremongers. We have a whole bunch of whoremongers in the church. And I believe Brother Chan said they're going to hell. We have a bunch of whoremongers in the church. Men being the whoremongers, women being the whores. If you're doing that and you have no compunction, no conviction to quit and to get out of it and to turn away from it, evidently you have never been born again. Whoremongers and whores are going to hell. The lake of fire, to burn forever. So, preacher, why are you laboring? Why are you on this point so long? Because most preachers don't preach on it. Not only did Jesus preach more on hell than the preachers in the Bible, sad to say he has preached more on hell than most preachers living today. Some pastors have never preached on the subject of hell. They act like it's not in their Bible. Whoremongers and whores are going to hell, going to the lake of fire, and sorcerers. I'm reading the Bible to you. I'm quoting the Bible to you. I'm telling you what the Bible says. And sorcerers, people who practice witchcraft and voodoo, the horoscope, making visits to little old ladies on the corner with the Mercedes in the front yard, with a hand in the window, palm readers, crystal ball lookers, some of these false witchcraft, witch doctor prophets that are lingering around the church, nothing but liars and demons, and idolaters, people who put anything or anybody before God, and all liars, little white liars, little black liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And if God didn't get you on the other ones, he got you on the lying, you liar. Liar, liar, you ever heard of it? Pants on fire. We're talking about hell. You're going to hell because you perjured yourself. You're a liar. And the truth is not in you. And you have no compunction, no conviction about getting it right and apologizing and making it right and admitting you lied. Thank God for those Christians who are so broken and so transparent. When they do utter a lie, they stop them and say, you know, that's a lie. They say, oh, that's a lie. Thank God for people like that. That's a lie. Let me stop lying. Now, hell is bad news. The lake of fire is bad news, but that's where you're going. But I have some good news for you, though. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to the lake of fire to pay for all of those sins. I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His name is Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. We all deserve to perish and go to hell, but you should not perish. You will not perish, but have, that is in hell, but have everlasting life and go to heaven to be with God. Now that's mercy. That's God's mercy. That's God's grace. So just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died for your sins, so that you don't have to pay for your sins. Jesus paid it all. He is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He died on Good Friday. He was buried and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. And all you have to do is believe on him. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 13, that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. I heard saved, the word saved, all my life, and I kept asking, what, saved from what? All I thought saved was you had to follow some rules of the church. You had to wear long dresses. You could not drink. You could not party. Had to stay in church for 10 hours every Sunday. Minimum. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell, man. Saved from the lake of fire, woman. That's from what? Because that's where you're going, and you're not going to hear this anywhere else. You're going straight to hell if you died today. Now, am I telling you this because I love you? Is the Holy Spirit of God in me showing love towards you? You better believe it. Did Jesus love you when he told you you're going to hell if you don't repent and trust him as Savior? Yes, yes. Same Jesus preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. It's the same Jesus who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, if you are ready and willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and you're willing to pray and ask him to save your soul and to come into your heart, repeat after me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me the sinner's prayer and mean it from your heart. Repeat it after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For I have broken your Ten Commandments. It is true that I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I've coveted after and lusted after people and things before. I have dishonored you by taking your holy name in vain. I've dishonored my parents as well by not obeying them. And other sins, many other sins I've committed for Jesus Christ's sake. Please have mercy and grace upon me, and please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, early one Sunday morning. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and help me to change and live the new life. Follow you and live the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. So, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many emails where you might be. We have over 1,000 sites some all around the world. So whatever the contact information is on that site, please contact us, and Elizabeth will send you the information you need to help you grow in the faith free of charge. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, also please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. We pray for people every day. And by the way, by the grace of God, we pray at the top of every hour, all day long. We pray without ceasing around here. So when you send in your prayer requests as soon as I get it, I start praying for you by name. And others start praying for you. And we have many people who will get their prayers answered on something else, and they come back with the next prayer request over and over and over again. And the reason is our prayers get answered by the grace of God. And we thank the Lord for that. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you. Real good is our prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.